You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. The scripture reading will be in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, beginning with verse 16 through 18. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is already past, and overthrow the faith of some. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of this, your holy word, because we ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
Let's join our hearts and minds together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you've set aside in our life to spend time worshiping, praising. May each of us, even as Fanny Crosby, say that this is my story. This is what I want to do with all of my life is to praise you and to bring honor to you. To live my life and to live a life that influences others for the glory of your Son and my Savior. We thank you now that you hedge us about, and as we look into the Word and we learn more about Him who loved us and gave His life for us, that we might, Father, be built up in a faith that not only is holy, but brings glory to you. And this we ask in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we spent a long time looking at dispensations, and we're going to stop, because we got to the end. And I can't help but think how important it is, because and Paul does too, because he immediately goes right into what we're supposed to not do. He says, what you're supposed to do is study the Word. What you're not supposed to do. Isn't that wonderful? You know, that's exactly what a parent should do and what a parent we have in God. He doesn't leave us hanging. He says, don't do that, but do this. He doesn't leave us hanging with being in trouble and getting punished, but then still not knowing what to do. He tells us what to do and what not to do. And we begin in verse 16, but it picks up a thread. There's a thread here, and don't miss this, in the second chapter of Timothy. It's a thread of truth. He talks about truth three times. We had it once here in verse 15. Rightly dividing what? The word of truth. That's what sets the basis for everything that encompasses what we know about God. Truth. He is truth. When His Son was born, He declared Himself to be not only the way, but the truth. There's that little nagging thought in our minds sometimes because we get a little worldly. We get a little secular, don't we? We get a little profane. We're going to look at that word in just a minute. We begin to say, well, what is truth? Who does that remind you of? Yeah. God's given us truth, and He's asked us not to deviate from it. He's told us, look in verse 16, but shun profanity and vain babbling. Profane is sacrilegious stuff. It's not just profanity. It isn't just having a potty mouth, even though it encompasses that. It's not just cursing. It's not just taking the name of the Lord in vain, which is a violation of one of the Ten Commandments. It encompasses that, but it's much more than that. The word comes from a Greek word that means to go across the threshold. It means to take that which is secular and worldly and bring it into a holy place. It's to cross over, and that's profane. You don't do that. You don't do that. And the way we do it is by violating the principles, by violating the teachings and the doctrine that God has given us. And where do we get that? We don't get that from men. We don't follow men. Only unless they follow God. If they don't, we don't follow men. We don't get that from our own thoughts and what we believe. Our rationalization. Our reasoning. Because it's imperfect. We get that from this book. We get it from the Word of God. He has left us the way. And that's what we're to follow. And we'll look at that because we're going to look at some godliness in just a little bit. But the thing is, study, rightly divide the Scriptures, learn what God's program and plan is for the ages. Don't be out here walking around saying, I'm a professor, but not really a possessor. Lots of God's people profess, but don't possess. Lots of unbelieving people profess, but don't possess. Now, the unbelieving end up in the wrong place. The believing who profess but don't possess end up with a lot of trouble. I mean, they really do. They don't shun. See that first word? Shun. That means to avoid. Do you know what that means? That means when you're heading for work in drive time traffic and the radio says there's an accident at Britton and the Lake Hefner Parkway, you get off on Hefner Road and you go down May Avenue and you bypass it. And you get back on the Lake Hefner Parkway and go on. You don't get stuck for 30 minutes in traffic. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, I mean, that's my example. You've got your own example. You avoid those things. That's what the godly person does. Okay, so let's make it a little more, traffic's one thing, but, drugs and immorality and profane things are another. And we need to pay attention to those. It is incredibly true, and I use this example with the little kids all the time. I'll take a gallon of water, and it's just as white as and clear as it can be, and I'll drop just one little drop of shoe polish in it. You know what happens? It just clouds up. The whole gallon. One rotten apple spoils a whole bunch. You know, we've got a lot of sayings about it, but that's true. It is so easy for good people to be corrupted by bad people, isn't it? It doesn't take much. It just takes a little bit. It doesn't take much. It just takes a drop. And all of a sudden, we're enticed and we're allured by the world and these things that are secular, but God says, shun them, avoid them. Pass not by them. Proverbs chapter 4. Turn away from them. Just don't get involved. Spare yourself the heartache and the trouble that's going to come from these secular things. What is truth? God teaches us what truth is, but He does tell us also what it's not. It's not these profane things. What is profane? God, Paul uses this word in a couple. You got your Bible there. Go back to 1 Timothy. And he uses it, and I'm going to look at it in three different ways, and I want you to pay attention to this, because the first way is that it keeps bad company. It keeps bad company. You remember that. Something that's profane because you want to stay away from it because it leads to ungodliness. It keeps bad company. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. We know that the law is good. Oh, that's verse 8. Well, okay, we start there. Law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient. For the ungodly and for the sinners. For the unholy and the profane. For murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and for manslayers. For fornicators, for them that defile themselves with mankind. For kidnappers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Profane people keep bad company. Don't associate with them. Don't associate with them. There are very few of us that are strong enough to associate with profane people and not pick up their profanity, their profaneness. Now, where does a child learn the things that they learn? By those they associate with. You parents, you've raised a child and all of a sudden they're just like you. Oh, God. You know, in your secretness you say, God forbid. But no, they are. They pick up the things that you do. They say the thing, your little kid comes in and he boop, says something, you go, oh, where did you learn that? You know where they learned it. From that kid they play with outside. Don't let them play with that kid anymore outside. teach them that they've got to have good company. And if they're learning at home, ooh, you need to work on that. Turn to chapter 4, same book. Here's the second thing. Profanity and profane people lead to ungodliness. Verse 7 of chapter 4. Refuse profane and old wives' fables. Sounds like the same thing we've been reading over in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. It is. But exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Having a promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You know, you think you're just supposed to be good because of what's coming? That's not what it says, is it? You're supposed to be good because of right now. What a blessing it is to walk in the straight and narrow. Yeah, but you're just missing out on so much. That's not truth. That's not truth. Don't be deceived. And then there's, it's just so hard. I can't do that. Yes, you can. If you're a child of God, God has given you the strength, He has given you the wisdom, and He has shown you the way, and you can do it. And you will be blessed by it. You will reap benefits unbelievable from it. Oh, you won't receive the benefits that are measured by the yardstick of the world's measurements. But you will receive the approval that comes from God. Now, you tell me what's more important. What's more important, the 60, 70 years that you live on this earth, in this flesh, in this body, or the picture of eternity, everlasting, forever and ever? That is the reward God has for you. Reminds me of the study they've done with the little kids, and they put them in the room and they put a candy bar in front of them, and they're sitting there at the table, and you know, there's a candy bar, and they said, you know, you can have that candy bar, but you've got to wait until I get back. And they leave the room. And the little child is sitting there, and it's probably a little boy about 8 or 9, and the camera's running. And he's just sitting there looking around, and you know what he is. All of a sudden he looks at the candy bar. Yeah, he pays no attention to it. Then he looks at it again, and then he picks it up and he handles it, and then he starts looking at it, and he's gone. He's going to open it up, and sure enough, and he's going to take a bite out of it. See, God has promised us blessings and blessings and blessings and blessings if we're obedient, not just in this life, but in that which is to come forever and ever and ever. That is the importance of godliness from both sides of death. The third thing, chapter 6. See, profane people keep bad company, and profane people tend to ungodliness. The last thing profane people do, let's see if you can figure it out. Chapter 6, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that, guard that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of knowledge, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Profane people cause good people to err, to commit the error. That's what they do. It's not just a tendency towards ungodliness, but it is to practice ungodliness. That's what error is. It's an activity and a habit that is built upon the ungodliness that comes from the keeping the bad company. And that is what profanity does. And none of us, apart from the power of God dwelling in us, is able to withstand it. Now that's profanity, and vain babblings is next. What do we do about vain babblings? Come on back over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. So we've learned two things so far. One, we're to avoid, shun. That's the first thing we're supposed to do. We're supposed to shun profane people and people who have vain babblings. Vain is vanity. That's the idea of being empty, worthless, meaningless, without any kind of permanence, without any kind of concrete substance. Vain babblings. Vanity. Of vanities, the preacher teaches, is contrasted with what one thing in Proverbs? Wisdom. The wisdom that comes from God. is the principal thing we're instructed to keep, to get, to hold on to. The contrast of that is vanity. It's the emptiness of life. It's the wisdom of man, as he says in Colossians. It's philosophy. It's the traditions of men. It's vain deceit. Colossians chapter 2. That's vanity. Babblings. That's a word that, you know what a child does when they're like 4 and 5 months old? Blah, 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 blah. That's the babblings that come. And they're, what are they doing? They're imitating. They're imitating what they hear. And they're trying to speak it. They're trying to follow it. They're trying to say it. But it comes not from reason or thought. They just parrot whatever they've been given. We're to shun those things. Things that are not sifted and thought through and reasoned out with the Word of God. The things that we hear that are just vanity, emptiness, that are not permanent, that change from day to day. Okay, let me give you one, all right? Let's just deal with one real quick because I can tell you're probably wondering, like what? That's one thing I always set out there in school, and that's one question I always came up with when the professor was, or teacher was, going through an example. You know, you can talk about these mental things, but let's get it down to reality. For instance, give me an example of what you're talking about. Well, the earth is billions and billions and billions of years old. The cosmos is billions of years old. Nobody knows how old it is. Okay? Now, see, that's a science that's falsely so-called. It's not real science, because real science is based upon actual, investigated, and experienced and seen data. Known anybody that's lived that long ago? Okay, I simplified it, but I mean, is that not the truth? You can't be scientifically accurate about anything unless it's absolutely demonstrated and proven in an environment that you observe. That, you know, that may go contrary to what some people have been taught. But the truth of it is that God has told us that the created aspect of life that we know began 6,000 years ago. How do I know that? Right here in His book. That's where I learned that. All right, let's go to another step. Let's get a little more touchy about this. That is not a human being in the womb. That is just some kind of, cellular thing. You know, it's just kind of a little growth. And it certainly doesn't have a soul nor a spirit. It's just, right now, it's just kind of multiplying cells. So if you want to do away with it because it's an inconvenience, do away with it. That's vain babbling. God doesn't teach us that which is in the womb can be murdered. It is murder. Those are things, you know, we really need to deal with from a Christian perspective. We need to have the sense enough to recognize when we hear the error and we hear what's false, to challenge it. At least not to fall for it. Well, those things are so important to us. You ever hear anybody start talking about evolution? And you know, it's probably one of the most uneducated persons you've ever met in your life. And they're just parroting, they're vainly babbling what they've heard. They saw it on the Discovery Channel. They heard it in their biology class in college. And they soaked it up. And they just begin to repeat it over and over and over. We're to shun profane and vain babblings. Why? Because they will increase into more ungodliness. But before I get to ungodliness, you know we have a picture of a profane person in Scripture? You know that? Now, just for a minute, those of you who've studied a lot of the book and know it, just think, who is a profane person in Scripture? You know, where are we going to start? Cain. Now, there's a good place. Go all the way back there. He killed his brother. What a jerk. But the Bible doesn't talk about him being profane. I want to talk about somebody that the Bible specifically says is a profane person. You know, I could just go right on through and I could start thinking of these people. Pharaoh. Well, there's a profane person. He was sacrilegious, even in his religion. I could just think of more and more. But who does the Bible talk about? Esau. Go over to Hebrews. Look at Hebrews real quick. Let's look at this example. Just a book over here. A couple of books over. Hebrews chapter 12. In this chapter, Paul writes to the Hebrews, telling them to keep their eyes on the target and don't be taken aside. Even as Christ, who is the example, kept his face set on the target. And he wouldn't move it. And so you go through life and you're chastened a little bit, and that's okay. Endure the chastening because God is trying to perfect you. God is trying to teach you what godliness is all about. And you're like a, well, sometimes you're just like a mule. Other times, you know, you're just like a, well, you're like a horse. You got to put a bridle in the mouth. You got to be, God is trying to bring you to godliness. Don't let it create bitterness in your life. That's what he says in verse 15 of Hebrews 12. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble and trouble you, and by it many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. There it is. There's a profane person. Now, I want to look at a profane person. Now, I think I've given you the building blocks. So that when we look at Esau, and we're going to go back to Genesis 25. That's your cue. Turn to Genesis 25. I think you've got the building blocks. That when we look at Esau, and we see when the Bible says that he sold for a morsel of food his birthright, I think we can see that this truly is a profane person. It is a person who did not associate with the right people. He will be a person who is not inclined to godliness, and he is a person who has erred concerning truthful things. So in Genesis chapter 25, you remember Abraham had a son. Had several sons, but the most important son whom the seed promise went through was Isaac. Isaac had a wife named Rebekah. Rebekah had a son named, well, she had two. Two were in the womb. And one was this fellow Esau, and the other one was this guy Jacob. Remember Esau came out and he was ruddy complected? Jacob came out right after him and he grabbed a hold of his heel and called him a heel catcher. God had already told them in the first part of Genesis 25, verse 23, the Lord said unto Rebekah, two nations are in thy womb and two manner of people shall be born of thee. And the one people shall be stronger than the other and the elder shall serve the younger. Yet don't ever forget that God has this one characteristic that we have a difficult time dealing with. And that is the fact that He foreknows. He's omniscient. He knows everything there is to know. Nothing catches Him by surprise. And so He knew that the younger would rule and the elder would serve Him. Verse 24, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she, Rebekah, bore them. Now, Isaac was the promise lineage that God had given back to Abraham when he said that through your seed, all the rest of the earth would be blessed. And this is in that time period when we went back and studied dispensations. We had the first dispensation in Enid. The second dispensation we called the patriarchal. This is before the Aaronic priesthood. This is in the time period when the head of the household assumed the responsibility of a priest. And so they were the ones who had that birthright. It was very important because they were the go-between between the family and God. Incredibly important relationship, don't you think? Important relationship. And see, that was Esau's birthright. That's what had been given to him because of his relationship of being born first to Isaac, who the promised seed was given through Abraham. There's something else that's important here. Something else that's important. It was also the line that God had said would crush the serpent's head. If we go back and we follow that lineage down from Abel to Seth, on through to Abraham to Isaac, and it would have gone to Esau and his bloodline. So now we have two things that we know are very important in the bloodline and in the birthright of who? Esau. But Esau was a profane man. Look at verse 27. The boys grew up. Esau was a skillful hunter and a man of the field, and Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob boiled pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." Now, if somebody were to come up to you and you had this distinguished position that we just talked about, and they said, you know, for a Twinkie and a cupcake, or maybe for a little Snickers on the table in front of you, "I'll let you have it if you just give me these other things that are kind of intangible and further out," what would you do? Esau said, "Behold," verse 32, "I'm at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. That's a profane man. That is a man who takes the things of God and counts them nothing. That is a person who finds the secular more attractive and more important than the sacred. He despised his birthright. So by despising his birthright, he gave up three things. He gave up the lineage that he had for being the one who would have a child in their bloodline that would crush the head of the serpent. He gave up the position of the patriarch in the family, because after Isaac died, Esau would be the one. But not only that, he gave up the line of the chosen seed. Profane. Profane. Is that, in your life, you're questioned every day. You're called to the question of whether or not you're going to adhere to the things that God has, or you're going to shun them. You're going to disregard them. You're going to avoid them. You're going to leave them. How do you respond? Do you despise your birthright? You that are a child of God, that is such a unique position. That is such an awesome station in life. You have the privilege and the right of standing before God one day and being called His child. Doesn't mean much now, does it? You young guys, you're struggling with trying to make a living and build an empire and get to the next ring on the ladder. Be sure the ladder is leaning against the right wall. And you mothers, you young mothers, you're raising children, and it's just a day in and day out, and you just one day melts into the next, and each week melts into the next, and they're just growing, and children, probably not much different than a man's work and his job, tend to distract us. This life and the cares and the concerns of this life tend to draw us away from our Lord. Tend to make us not be exercised unto godliness in the way that we need to be. And I think it's important we spend a lot of time here with this one verse and recognize, because it has dire consequences. Come back to Timothy. In 2 Timothy, the consequences we see in the last part of verse 16 increase unto more ungodliness, and in verse 17, eat as a canker. Now, I think of a canker, I think of a sore inside my mouth, and I get alum and put it on there, and shoo, boy, ah, woo! But, you know, really the word's like, it's a word that we have, gangrene. It's a Greek word that means gangrene. And gangrene just eats away and eats away and eats away and eats away until, you know, because gangrene is so severe and so deadly, people lose feet, toes, feet, ankles, legs, arms, hands from gangrene. I mean, it's a horrible thing. And that's what profane and vain babblings lead to. The consequences are really severe. They're talking about the life that now is. And the unwed mother wonders, what did I do wrong? I loved him. And the guy that's living in the Jesus house keeps saying over and over and over, I tried, I tried, I tried. Fellow going through rehab. I never thought it would lead to this. I never thought it would lead to this. The little dalliance that goes on at the office. Those are big things, and we all relate to those. How about the little things? You know, things that you say that hurt people behind their back. Things that aren't true and honest and just. Things that don't really bear good report on them. Ungodliness. Godliness is a characteristic of all of God's people. We're to manifest that. We're to exhibit it. And let me show you quickly, how do we exhibit godliness? Can't do it, can you? I mean, that's the doubter. But God says we can. Doesn't He? I mean, if he says we're not to be this way, we're to be that way, and if this way is ungodliness and that way is godliness, then obviously He's telling us we can be godly. In fact, He even says all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in God, so maybe if I want to be godly, I need to be like God. And so I need to be looking for those treasures. I need to be doing those things. You know, it's kind of like, I'll get to that in just a minute. Go over to John chapter 6. Verse 27. Time's up, but I'm going to cover two more things. So bear with me. And I'll cover them quickly. You need these. You don't just need them for right now. Okay? If you get it for right now, it's like taking your one-a-day vitamin today and never taking again all week. You need to get up tomorrow and go back and look at this stuff and study it. Verse 27. Labor not for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What is it that we need to do in order to be godly? That's the question. And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. That's it. That's all He said. Just believe on Him. Now, believing can be two different things to some people. Oh yeah, I believe that. You never tested it. You never tried it. You never proved it. If it really came up to you in front of your face, you probably wouldn't know it. Oh yeah, I believe that. Like the guy that sits there and spouts off the evolutionary theories. Oh, I believe that. Let me give you a picture of someone. Go over to Mark, someone who really did believe. She had an issue of blood and had it for a long time. Mark chapter 5. For 12 years she suffered For 12 years she suffered through this issue of blood. And let me tell you, some of you today are suffering not from that, but from some kind of other problem. I'm not going to talk about them. You know what your relationship is with God, and you know what your problems are with Him. If you're suffering, there is an answer. But if you follow profane and vain babblings, you'll never get the answer. Verse 25, a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse when she heard of Jesus. What a wonderful phrase that is. When she heard of Jesus. Let me tell you, that is a life-changing event. She came to the crowd behind him and she touched his garment, for she said, if I just may touch but his clothes, I shall be well. Now, we don't live in the signs and wonders and the miracle movement today. He doesn't walk among us in the flesh, and we don't get to see these things like they did back then. Today's a different deal. But He still is the healer. He still is the great physician. He is the one who can meet any need that you have. And when you come to that point in life, when you, as He said to those who said, what is godliness? This is godliness. Believe on Him. In another place He says, believe on Him whom He hath sent. And don't give in to the lie. I'll give you a quick example and we'll stop right there. There was a man named Daniel. And he was a young boy and he was captured in the Babylonian raid on Jerusalem and he was taken back to Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar was king. And all the other Israelite boys gave in to the king and the king's stuff because this is better for you. This is going to make everything all right. It's going to achieve all your dreams. It's going to give you all you need. Except one, actually, him and his three friends, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Daniel had one thing going for him that set him apart from everybody else. Does anybody here know what it is? Raise your hand. He purposed in his heart. That's what he did. Daniel chapter 1. Go back and read the story. It's real short. He just purposed in his heart. He put both feet down, and I'm not moving. Because he had been instructed and he had been taught in the ways of godliness, and he wouldn't be removed from them. He learned how to avoid, how to shun profane and vain babbling. But you got to learn it. And you learn it right here. You learn it in this book. And that's your lesson for today. And that's your vitamin to take every day this week. And if that doesn't really, you know, there's still so much you can do. But if that's too much, the least you can do is every day open up the book of Proverbs. And if it's the 17th day of the month, go to the 17th chapter and read it. If it's the 21st day of the month, just open up the book. And if you didn't read 20 and 19 and 18 and 17, that's okay. Let's start right now. You'll be amazed what it does to you and what a change in your life you'll experience. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You that You have left us the written word. And oh, the need that we have to know it. And what comfort and what satisfaction and restoration it brings to the soul and the spirit. May we be convinced of that. May we truly believe and not just profess, but to possess this belief. And this is our prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.